Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And Sunday, of course, is Father's Day. And next, we'll talk about fatherhood in absentia, how to cope with being away from your family during military service, or if you're the family, how you cope. Joining us today is former U.S. Marine Armin Brott. He's the host of a parenting radio talk show in the San Francisco Bay Area and the author of a new book, The Military Father, A Hands-On Guide for Deployed Dads. Armin Brott, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hey, great to be here.
And listeners, a call out for military families facing deployment. Do you have parenting issues that you want to discuss with Armin Brott? Do you have advice to give to other military fathers or their families or military mothers for that matter? But it is Father's Day and the book is The Military Father. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or question on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Armin, you divide your advice into three phases: pre-deployment, deployment, and returning home. So let's start with pre-deployment. You use words like shock, denial, anger, and acceptance. Sounds like the five stages of grief. Is that what you're going for?
You know, it pretty much is. It's very much the same thing, and it's interesting how that plays out. But it plays out that way for everybody in the family, not just the deploying soldier, but the kids and the wife as well. You know, even if somebody's in the military, they should have in the back of their mind that, well, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be deployed. But there still can be this, wait a minute, this can't be happening to me. Or talking to some of the moms involved, they would say, you are just not going there. You can't do that. We've got other stuff to do. And eventually they do get over that. But there's the denial in the beginning, and then there's this in a way, kind of irrational anger. You could be angry at Osama bin Laden. You could be angry at the Secretary of Defense or the Commandant of the Marine Corps or whoever for creating this kind of a situation. And again, that sort of dissipates after a while, and towards the very end, as the guy starts getting completely ready to go for deployment the last couple of weeks or so, there does get to be a sense of acceptance.
Do you offer any advice for getting to acceptance in the most productive way?
Yeah, the most productive way is really to understand what's going on and to work with the family to explain that, put systems in place for how you're going to be in touch with each other throughout the deployment, to get the kids ready to go, to make them understand, especially little ones, that it has nothing to do with you, because a lot of little kids think that sometimes that daddy's leaving, daddy's being sent away because I was bad. And so we have to be talking to the kids and explain that to them and setting up, again, a system so you can be in touch with each other, setting expectations at a reasonable level. You don't want to go off and say, okay, I'm going to talk to you guys every day. I'm going to call you every day, and I'm going to send you emails three times a day, because that's just not going to be able to happen. So having realistic expectations, and also a really interesting thing, this writing this book was like a series of, gee, I didn't know that kind of moments. And you'd think that the couple of weeks or so before deployment would be this incredibly close time between the deploying dad and his wife, and there'd be passionate sex and all this stuff. But it turns out that that's actually kind of a tense time. The soldier he's deploying. He's spending more and more time with the guys in his unit, building unit cohesiveness and learning about the mission. And he's spending less and less time at home. So he's kind of physically there, but mentally absent. And his wife is, in a way, starting to think, well, I just wish he'd get out of here already so we can get on with this thing. And so you've got these people who are snapping at each other instead of hugging each other all the time. And they both feel bad about that. So understanding that that's going to be a natural part of the preparation for deployment can really help the people kind of get back into touch with what's really important.
Listeners, if you have a family member deployed overseas, is this ringing true for you? Or maybe you're a veteran who's recently returned or not that recently returned. How did you deal with family separation during deployment? Let's share advice with each other as we discuss it with Armin Brott, author of The Military Father, A Hands-On Guide for Deployed Dads. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And during deployment, we talked about before deployment, during deployment, you have all kinds of tips for fathers to stay involved in their kids' lives, like starting a family blog to share schoolwork and photos. Where do you begin? What's the first thing? I'm sure a lot of dads go over to wherever the deployment is, and they don't really have a clue of how to start.
Well, that's true. I think a lot of guys get over there someplace, wherever that someplace is, and they just aren't sure what are the possibilities. I mean, there are going to be some camps where you will be able to actually get online and get on Skype and have a video conference, which can be a good thing. But there's going to be other places where there's not going to be a phone anywhere nearby, or if there is a phone anywhere nearby, it's going to be occasionally knocked down by dust storms and things like that. So you have to figure out what's available. But I think one of the most important things is to have a calendar with you of events that are going to be happening at home. And you can do that, if you've got an internet connection some way possible. You can do that on a Google calendar so that everybody can be posting their stuff. But it's so important for the dad to feel like he's still part of life at home. And he can do that if he knows when the high school graduations are and the birthdays and the anniversaries and the soccer games and piano recitals and all that kind of stuff. And then it's also important for the family to have a way of making sure that they understand that dad is safe, because there's so much media information out there, and this, again, especially for kids who may not be able to quite make the difference or differentiate between a soldier who's been killed somewhere on the news and my dad. And so being able to be in touch somehow, but again, that really gets down to figuring out what sorts of options are available. And then also not forgetting about regular old snail mail and sending packages, because people think with all of the incredible technology we have that can make communication almost instant that nobody's going to be sending packages. But actually having something in your hand, and if for the kids or the wife, that could be a little teaspoonful of sand from my encampment, or it could be a scorpion that you caught that's dead, of course. Things like that really show that this is what dad is doing. And then on the other side, for dad to have a real picture in his hand that the child drew, or a letter that the wife sent, it's so much nicer to have that physical thing rather than just looking at it on the screen.
Let's take a call from Claire in Eastchester. Claire, thanks so much for calling.
Hi.
So you have a husband who's currently deployed?
Yeah, he's in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. And?
Well, he's been there for 13 and a half months, so we're almost at the end. But the best thing I have two sons, 3 and 1, and the best thing for the 3-year-old is my husband makes videotapes himself every few weeks, reading 3 or 4 picture books, and then sends the DVD with the books to my son. So he loves getting a package, and then he calls them his daddy videos. And he watches, and then he can read the books while watching my husband on the TV screen reading them, and it's been one of his favorite ways to stay connected with my husband.
That's a good one. What do you say to the 3-year-old about where your husband is and what he's doing?
It's really hard because he's old enough to understand that dad's gone, but not really old enough to understand why. So he says, if you ask him, he says he's at work in Afghanistan and, you know, that he's helping people. My husband has a medical job, so he says he's helping people. And, you know, we've really picked, you know, like holidays and things like that as ways to keep time, you know, because he also doesn't really understand length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we would say, well, we have this many holidays to get through, this many birthdays, you know, so we can check those things off the list.
Yeah.
More so than,
and then
he'll be home.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. Claire, good luck. Thank you and your husband for your service to our country, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And Armin Brat, I'm sure that's right along the lines of the things in your book, sending home something like a DVD. Are there most difficult ages of children for this separation?
You know, in a lot of ways, for the children who are teens or tweens, late tweens, those are the most difficult ones because they really understand what's going on, and they're getting into a stage where they're kind of black and white, and they may be taking some political stances on whatever the war is or the military service that the dad is doing. But they're also going to be the ones who are going to be most hurt by dad not being there. I mean, you know, you were supposed to be here to teach me how to drive, or you promised that you would be at that game with me, or things like that hurt a lot more as a young adult almost than as a small child like Claire's, who are too young to really understand time. When you get into ages 6, 7, 8, something like that, they do understand time, but they still aren't quite aren't quite clear on what exactly everything means, although they are starting to kind of understand the danger that can be happening.
Of course, deployment doesn't just impact the father-child bond. How can a couple maintain a healthy relationship? Does absence make the heart grow fonder?
You know, it actually does. I was really, this is another one of these, I didn't know that kind of things, that you'd think with all of this absence that there would be a high divorce rate when soldiers came home. But the fact that the mom and the dad are working together to keep in touch with each other and to keep the children up to date and to keep the dad's relationship with the kids strong, and the fact that the mom is now having to take on an awful lot more work than she was before. She's got to do everything she did, plus all the stuff that the dad did before. And the kids have to pitch in more. So the fact that she feels strong, that she's been able to make it through this really difficult situation and come up with a new way of running the family. And the dad can also feel strong, too, that he made it through, that he's happy the way everything turned out, that certainly he's alive and well to be coming home. And so when he does get home and they get through the initial difficulties, they can actually be stronger. And it turns out that soldiers who have been deployed, families that have gone through a deployment, actually have a lower divorce rate than other families because they have been through this really trying, difficult time, and they've come out of it okay. They've come out of it stronger.
Armin Bratt, author of The Military Father, A Hands-On Guide for Deployed Dads. Listener from Brooklyn writes on our page, we always forget we have an awful lot of civilians, not necessarily government employees, who are deployed in war zones too, UN, NGOs, universities, etc. While some of the conditions for civilians are better, more leave, better pay, some of the conditions are actually worse. I think it's important to look at the military side, but let's not forget these other families as well. Any reaction to that?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a reaction to that. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in The Military Father that deals with civilians, whether they're civilian contractors like KBR or they're UN workers or State Department workers. And the person who wrote that is absolutely right. Some of the conditions are better. They do have better leave. And if you're a civilian, you can go when you want to go rather than going according to a specific timetable. But I think the area where I found it was most interesting and saddest in a way was when the people come home. The military is really very much up to date on what's going on with post-traumatic stress and how to handle soldiers who are coming home who have been through combat situations. A lot of civilians have also been through combat situations and very stressful kinds of things. And when they come home, the military or the civilian medical system isn't really set up for that. And so these people come home, they've got significant medical or psychological issues, and they cannot get the help that they need. And even during the deployments, the military, if you're living on a base, the wives can all get together. They have family readiness groups, they're called, at every military base has got them. And so there's social things, or there's practical courses, or there's just places where the kids and the families can get together. If you're a civilian contractor, you may not be even in the same city before you went to Dallas to do your training. So you've got all these people who really have no support system. And so, the person who wrote that on the wall was absolutely right.
Let's get one more call in here, and it's Kristen in Huntington. Kristen, you're on WNYC.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking
sure.
my call. I just wanted to share a story. I'm in my 40s. I'm married to someone who grew up being the son of a naval commander. I grew up in a very liberal, anti-war family. I was always being dragged to protests and whatnot, and coincidentally or not, I married into a multi-generational military family.
Freud would have a great time with that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm a psychiatrist too, but anyway. but I have this story. My husband and I, early in our marriage, were on a plane, and we were watching, you know, the standard movie, and we had the little earphones in. And then I've never seen anything like this before nor since. But after the movie ended, they showed this little mini documentary clip on, it was like in his time period. So it was probably in the early 60s, 70s, this a family whose dad was deploying. I can't remember, it was like on a ship or something. And so they showed a mom and the two little kids going to say goodbye to the dad as he's literally, you know, going off to war. I have no idea why this is being shown, it was very emotional. I was watching it, and it was really fascinating. And, you know, he and I were both watching it because it just came on. And I looked at him, and he just had the biggest tear, you know, had these tears rolling, you know, out of his eyes. And it was the first time I really sort of understood the pain of what he had to go through as a child. He had talked to me about it, but, you know, coming from my background, right, it was very hard for me to understand.
So what was the moral of the story? What was the lesson in that anybody can learn from?
I think again, for me, coming from such a different background, it really helped me understand, like, the human side of what, well, specifically he was going through, had gone through, mm-hmm, and what so many of these families go through. I mean, he had, right, told me, you know, intellectually I understood because he had talked about it, but and very unemotionally, really, when he would tell, right, me about his childhood.
And then you got more deeply into it, and I'm sorry that we have to leave it there, but we are out of time. And I want to thank Kristen from Huntington for calling in, and I want to thank Armin Brott for a very thoughtful discussion. He does a parenting talk radio show in the Bay Area. He's a former U.S. Marine, and he's the author of a new book, just in time for Father's Day, The Military Father, A Hands-On Guide for Deployed Dads. Armin Brott, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we continue our series for the month of June, our Transportation Etiquette Series. What rules can we agree on for pedestrians, cyclists, and cars to all share the road? You can call in now, 212-433-WNYC, with your on-the-ground transportation etiquette. Pedestrians, cyclists, and cars, how do we all get along? 212-433-9692.